2011 United Nations report says about a third of all the food produced on Earth ultimately goes to waste each year. That's roughly 1.3 billion tons. Assuming we maintain that pace, the amount of annual waste is expected to rise to 2.1 billion tons by 2030. Besides being ethical and economic problems, the UN pointed out that wasted food emits a significant amount of greenhouse gas. So the UN adopted a goal to reduce global food waste by 50% by 2030, but they didn't really come up with a plan on how to do it. Now the organization World Resources Institute did, and they rolled it out last week. Craig Hansen is the Vice President of Food, Forests, Water, and the Ocean at World Resources Institute. Craig, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, when people think of food waste, we might think of the stuff that goes bad at home in our refrigerator. That's just one point of food waste. What do we know about where in the chain food gets wasted?
Well, food gets wasted everywhere from the chain, from the farm all the way to the fork. So it's the farmer as he or she is harvesting the grains and the equipment doesn't pick up all the grains and the grains stay in the field, to the storage, right? When in Africa you've harvested your food and it goes in storage, but then because it's not temperature controlled, it rots or pests get to it. All the way to transportation, the food that actually falls off the truck or spoils in transportation, to the retailer. Right, the food that doesn't get sold at the retail store and gets thrown out, and then finally at the home or the restaurant.
Before we get into solutions, I want to look at some of the consequences here. First of all, when it comes to our food supply, how significant is this loss of food to the effort to feed humans around the world?
It's a pretty big issue, right? As you opened up, one third of all food that's intended for human consumption is lost or wasted between the farm and fork. One third. That's amazing, especially in a world where one in nine people are actually undernourished today across the planet. So that dichotomy is a travesty.
And then environmental consequences. This UN report mentioned, and I think that's not something I hadn't really thought about before. What are the environmental impacts of wasted food?
Pretty broad. Food loss and waste accounts for about a quarter of all the fresh water that's used in the agricultural system around the planet. Well, a quarter of all the fresh water, right, is used to grow food that no one ends up eating. It also emits 8% of greenhouse gas emissions. And this is the food that gets thrown out, ends up in decaying in a landfill, to all the emissions from fertilizer use used to grow food that no one eats, to the land that's being cleared to grow food that isn't eaten as well. So 8%. In fact, if food loss and waste were its own country, it'd be the third biggest greenhouse gas emitter after China and the United States.
And do we really have a solid handle on the problem? I've seen people suggest that, we don't even really know how to measure this. People are using different standards to measure what food counts as wasted, if it's fed to animals, that sort of thing. Do we have a global standard to even understand the problem?
Yes, it's a while ago, there was a lot of confusion around what counts as food loss and waste and how do you actually quantify it. A standard has emerged. WRI was involved with this along with UN agencies and others to create the Food Loss Waste Protocol, kind of a global standard for what gets measured and how you measure it. So we're now a number of companies and countries are starting to quantify their food loss waste in accordance with that standard. So we're starting to get better data about how much and where is being lost and wasted.
We're talking about wasted food with Craig Hansen from the World Resources Institute. That organization has a plan now, a global action agenda aimed at cutting food waste by half by the year 2030. Let's get into that plan now, Craig. Before we get into details, give us the quick elevator pitch of what this plan aims to do.
Well, the plan basically aims to help companies, governments and individuals cut in half the amount of food that's lost or wasted between the farm and the fork by the year 2030. There's three core elements, right? The first is we call it Target Measure Act. Set a target to cut your food loss and waste in half, measure it because what gets measured gets managed, and then take action. The second step is we created a to-do list for anyone from farmers all the way to consumers, five things that you can do to get going to actually reducing your food loss and waste. And finally, to help take things to scale, we've developed 10 scaling interventions, 10 big things that we think that can really help accelerate the reduction of food loss and waste.
At the national level, again, you call on countries to come up with their own strategies. I understand some countries already have policies and laws in place. What kind of things are already happening around the world?
Yeah, so a number of countries have started to put in place certain policies, for instance, to help make it easier to donate food that ends up being unsold. So it used to be the case that say, a retail store or a restaurant would be afraid to actually give unsold food to, say, a charity for fear of being sued, right, if someone got sick by it. So what's rolled out in a number of countries, including here in the United States, in many states, is a Good Samaritan laws that basically say, look, you know, no one's going to sue you if something, you know, if someone gets sick by some food that you've donated. And that's actually helped ease and increase the amount of food that gets donated to food charities in these countries that have passed those laws. At the same time, some European countries have actually required retail stores that are bigger than a certain size to actually, that they have to give food to charities, that they can't just throw it all out. So there's a number of policies starting to pop up.
But it might not be a one-size-fits-all approach, it sounds like. A different country, a different level of development, say, might have different needs.
Exactly. You know what? So one thing the data does tell us around the planet is that in developed regions like North America, Europe, the vast majority of food loss and waste occurs at the consumption stage, at the household, at the restaurant, you name it, right? In fact, in the United States, something like 60% roughly of all food loss waste occurs at the consumption stage. And that means to really tackle that, you need, you know, policies or approaches or behavior changes that get to how the consumer handles his or her food. But in the developing world, places like in Africa, more than half of the food loss waste occurs really close to the farm during harvesting or during storage. And so there, the interventions are needed there by, you know, technologies and incentives for better storage or for better harvesting equipment so that less food is lost once from the farm all the way to the market.
I saw it referenced to technologies like maybe solar-powered coolers to help keep food to help food last longer, maybe getting from the farm to the consumer in those cases.
Exactly. So this is really true in Africa. There's, you know, one of the issues in Africa, you have a lot of smallholder farmers, you know, people that have less than an acre of land, and a lot of them, when they harvest, they don't have storage technologies, and you're not connected to the grid, and so storage becomes really difficult. So some companies have come together to think through how do we actually offer low cost, low carbon storage. And so what they've done is they've basically taken big crates that basically have solar panels attached to them, and you actually can store your food, your fruits and vegetables, keep it cold, get it ready, get it to the market, or get it ready when the prices go up. And it's all solar panels, solar powered, and therefore they don't have to be connected to the grid. And to help finance it, they've done what they call like a pay to chill model. And so the village will basically pay a small fee, right, over time, and over a course of 3 years, they actually end up owning the equipment. So it's a nice combination of technology and financing to tackle a problem.
So in that case, it sounds like this approach to food waste could also be an economic development strategy.
Exactly, exactly. In many parts of the developing world, you know, when you lose a lot of food, that is actually lost revenue as well as lost food for farmers. And so one way to take a first step towards moving up the economic development ladder is to make sure that if I'm a farmer, the food I grow makes it into my family's stomach or makes it to the market or both.
That's the national level. Let's go all the way to the other end of things and talk. Most of our listeners here are in the United States. What kind of things can listeners, food consumers, do to start to cut back on waste, maybe in their own households?
Yeah, I get this question a lot, yeah, because you know, everyone consumes food and everyone wastes food, right? And so the first question is, what can I do? Well, a couple simple tips that we have in our to-do list, right, for households is, first of all, it sounds really obvious and basic, but oftentimes it doesn't happen. It's buy what you expect to eat, right? And so little tips for doing, you know, check the refrigerator before you go out shopping, right? And also create a shopping list, right? And what behavioral studies show that actually people who make shopping lists actually end up over time wasting less food because they buy actually what they need, right? Secondly, is know the difference between a used by, a best before, and a sell by date. So we've all seen these words on the top of your milk carton, and sometimes it'll say sell by. And until I got into this, I used to think, you know, if a sell by was September 6th, 2019, if it was September 7th, you know, I'd throw it out, thinking it's unsafe to drink. But all sell by actually means is this is the optimal time for actually the retailer to actually sell. It's a message to the people that's managing the shelves on the store. The food is actually still good to eat or drink, right? But a lot of people don't know that. And so a lot of companies now, and it's happening here in the United States, are actually taking the sell by dates and converting it to barcodes so you and I don't get confused by the sell-by date. What's left over is either a use by date or a best before. Now, use by, that's the one to pay attention to. Use by means after that date, you know, it might turn sour. You probably shouldn't eat it for health reasons. But the best before date is what it means. It's best before, but it's still good after. So best before is usually on things like cookies and pasta and stuff like that. Yeah, after September 6th, it may not be the peak freshness. It's still healthy to eat. It's still good. So understanding what the date labels mean is really important for households to reduce their waste.
We're talking about how to reduce food waste. There's a lot of it around the globe, over a billion tons a year by many estimates. Craig Hansen is with us from the World Resources Institute. They have a new plan aimed at cutting food waste by half over the next 10-ish years. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How concerned are you about food waste? Is there something you've done in your own household that works for you to help you waste less food? Do you do something in the food chain as part of your job? A farmer, a food processor, grocery store, restaurant, you name it. What do you do when it comes to food waste where you work? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation on the global food waste problem with Craig Hansen. He's Vice President of Food, Forests, Water, and the Ocean at the World Resources Institute. The United Nations says a third of all food produced for humans on Earth, about 1.3 billion tons, is wasted each year. Our guest organization has a plan aimed at cutting that by about half. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is food waste a problem at your home? Have you done something to try to rein it in? Do you have a question about food waste, where it comes from, what people are doing about it? And if you work in the food industry somewhere along the chain, what do you see happening? Have you or your business made efforts to cut food waste? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Anita joins us now in Muskego. Anita, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to bring up, Anita?
Well, I just had an observation that when we go out to restaurants, the portions are just enormous for the most part. And they don't offer like a small size or a medium size, a large size. And it's always, you know, one size fits all. And many times people could eat about half of what they're offered. And I think a lot of times that food just gets thrown away.
Anita, thanks a lot for the call. Food waste at restaurants, Craig. Is that part of the problem?
It is. It is. And it's one of the things we've identified in a number of countries, U.S. just being one of them. Yeah, the size of the portions are too big. And interestingly, I grew up in from Nebraska, and I grew up, and where we go out, they actually had doggy bags. Interestingly, in Europe, that's a foreign concept, and it's just now starting to start to roll out. Places like Denmark, et cetera, are now starting to allow doggy bags, which I always thought was a pretty clever idea. So portion sizes, ideally, to shrink would be one thing to tackle at a restaurant. Offering doggy bags is another strategy for tackling that.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Craig, how do we stack up in the United States per person? How wasteful are we when it comes to food?
We're pretty wasteful. The United States is the most wasteful in terms of a per person, per capita amount of food loss and waste on the planet. It's very high. Interestingly, countries that have lower amounts per person typically are the less developed ones, like places like in Africa, where the more food actually ends up being consumed by the person. But yeah, we're quite inefficient in the United States as consumers of food.
You can join in at 800-642-1234 if you have thoughts or questions about food waste. Can we change our social norms on food waste in the United States, Craig? Or is this a cultural mindset change that you're looking to make?
There is. So in our three-part global agenda, on the final element, which is, you know, scaling interventions, one of them really is about shifting social norms. You know, it used to be the case, you know, when you looked at literature and even talking with grandparents, is, you know, back in the day, you ate everything that was on your plate, right? And food was precious, and there was a war going on, or, you know, my mother would tell me there's people starving in Africa. Eat everything on your plate, and we did, right? now it's kind of shifted, right? It's no one, you know, you don't feel bad, you know, scraping off that food off your plate and put it in the garbage can. What we need is a social norm shift where you do feel bad by scraping that food off of your plate. And therefore, it starts to change your behavior. Just like in the 1960s, people would throw plastic cups and tin cans outside the car window driving on the road. You had a big litter problem on the side of the roads. Well, in the 70s, there was a big movement, right, to stop that, right? And nowadays, my generation, my daughter's generation, you don't even think of throwing litter out in the road, right? So a cultural, social norm shift occurred there with litter that I would argue we need to have also with food waste.
You know, we've talked about national efforts, individual consumer efforts. We've touched on restaurants. How about food processing companies? Where can they contribute to this cutback in food waste?
So food processors, one thing that global data seems to indicate is that the processing stage of the food value chain is probably the most efficient. And part of that is because, you know, if I'm a food processor, I always have some additional use for whatever I shave off. I'm making cheese or whatever, or making grains, making cereals. Whatever gets cut off is usually used in some other product, right? So processing tends to be quite efficient. That said, in countries that don't have yet quite achieved that efficiency, it is finding that alternative use for what doesn't end up in a food product. It's also about creating new food products. We've seen a number of examples where items that before would have been thrown out and wasted actually get turned into, converted into a new food. I mean, the fruit smoothie, right, that's, you know, going gangbusters in the United States, is actually a use of food that oftentimes otherwise might have gone to waste.
Let's go back to our callers now. Mike is with us in Wisconsin Rapids. Mike, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What do you want to bring up, Mike?
Yeah, I wanted to talk some more about the gases. You know, that all this wasted food is causing. I'm a big fan of, well, I'm the guy in the circle that eats everybody else's pizza crust.
Me too, man.
Yeah, why throw that away? That's the best car. Anyway, the gases that you were talking about, how can you get into those a little bit?
Oh, yeah, the contribution, Craig, of food waste to greenhouse gas emissions. Where is that coming from?
Yeah, so that 8% figure I mentioned comes from a couple areas. So at the end of the cycle, so the food you and I throw out in our garbage ends up getting dumped in a landfill. As it decays, it turns into methane. And methane, as we know, is one of the most powerful and potent forms of greenhouse gas emissions, right? So that's one piece. But then you go to, you know, near the farm, right? It takes fertilizer to grow a lot of plants, and the application of fertilizer, some of it get as the fertilizer that's not used by the plant, it decays into the atmosphere as nitrous oxide, which itself is a greenhouse gas. So those fertilizers used to grow food that doesn't end up being eaten, that's a contribution to climate, to greenhouse gas emissions. And then before that, you know, there, every year, more and more land, especially in the tropics, is being converted from natural grassland or forest to become farmland. Some of that is basically used to grow food that ends up not being eaten. So you have those land use change emissions, those deforestation emissions that are created that for food that ends up not being eaten by us.
Thanks for the call. We're talking to Craig Hansen from the World Resources Institute, looking at efforts to cut food waste. Back to your calls. Bob is with us in Roberts. Bob, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What do you want to bring up, Bob?
So I used to work at a truck stop. I won't name the name, but what they used to do to cut down on the food waste here in the business is once the food technically expired and they couldn't sell it anymore, they had a freezer in the back where they would put all the leftover food and donate it to a local church for homeless people or less fortunate. Some of that just needed a meal.
All right, Bob, thanks a lot for the call. And Craig, they're probably not alone in that. Are you seeing food-related businesses making sure they donate the still edible food that they need to get rid of?
Yes, we're seeing actually that's a great strategy that the caller had there. And so I'm glad to hear that that's what they did. We're seeing actually an increase in the amount of food that is, you know, it's at the expiry date ends up being, you know, stored or stored as, you know, frozen, so it doesn't expire, or immediately get delivered to a charity. And one thing that's happened in the past three to five years is the emergence of apps to help speed the connection of I'm a retail store, I'm a truck stop, I've got some extra food, then there's a charity, you know, within the 20-mile radius. You know, in the past, it'd sit there. You didn't know who to call, who to go to. And now they have these, you know, a lot of places, the U.S. as well, and a lot of European countries have these apps now, and it's already set up, right? The app will say, I'm a retail store, I got you know, 5 bunches of bananas, you know, 15 bags of apples and some, and you know, 15 bread rolls from the bakery. It's gonna expire at 6 o'clock. And at 6:01, right, the charity's at your door because they got this signal from the app, and basically the charity basically gets the food right away, and so it maximizes the amount that actually gets to those in need. It's a fantastic type of blending of an issue that solves another problem by leveraging technology.
Bob, thanks a lot for the call. And Craig, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
That's Craig Hansen, Vice President of Food, Forests, Water, and the Ocean at the group World Resources Institute. We talked with him about the global food waste problem. There's a lot of it in the United States and elsewhere around the world. And his organization's 10-point plan aimed at cutting food waste in half around the world by the year 2030. Coming up Monday here on Central Time, if you feel like you have trouble dealing with your emotions, you're not alone. The author of the new book, Permission to Feel, says we can unlock the power of our emotions to have happier lives and to raise happier, healthier children. Money is driving a lot of kids out of youth sports, and our guest says that means many kids get less exercise and less opportunity. And we'll meet the Trumpeter Swan and learn about a 30-year effort to help them recover here in Wisconsin. Plus, find out about the best places to check out leaves in Wisconsin throughout this fall. That and more coming up Monday here on Central Time.